From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire, and it is Tuesday, May 5. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. Since yesterday, nationwide, 24 new cases of coronavirus have been confirmed, as we continue to flatten the curve. This morning, National Cabinet met with, for the first time, a special guest, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. I'm joined now by senior economics writer Jessica Irvine. Welcome back to Please Explain, Jess.
Good to be here.
It's been a little while.
It has.
The reason I want to talk to you today is because the very sexy topic amongst the state treasurers at the moment is stamp duty.
Yep.
Now, the reason this has become a sexy topic is people are now talking about how we're going to get the Australian economy going again after it's been brought to a grinding, crushing halt. And one of the things that is on the table across both federal and state administrations is tax reform. You've always had a bit of a bee in your bonnet about stamp duty. Why don't you start by telling us exactly what it is?
Yeah, what stamp duty is, it's one of the laziest taxes we have, and it's a legacy of, colonial days, that when a government wanted to raise some tax off somebody, they had a big stamp, like literally a stamp that they would put on documents and say, oh, you bought a house, stamp, and whilst I stamp you, you can pay me this amount of tax revenue for the pleasure. So it was just a easy way in the olden days to collect tax off people. But as the economy has evolved, we've got far more sophisticated ways of doing things. And this idea that just if you do something like buy a house or you do a transaction, that's when you should be taxed is such a bad idea, because it stops people doing the things that, you know, they would incur the tax for. So with stamp duty on property, and this is the main one that state treasurers are talking about, you know, you go and buy a house in Sydney, you're going to pay sort of $40,000, $50,000 in stamp duty. Why? Just because you bought a house. Now, do we think buying a house is a bad thing? Because when you tax something, it tends to stop that thing from happening. Well, no, we actually think that buying and selling houses and having an economy in which somebody can move to where a job is and sell a house and move freely. And if you think it through, if we've got an economy where people have lost their jobs, what we really need is a flexible labour force that can go and say, look, there's a new factory producing masks or whatever, and that's going to be in the northwest suburbs of Sydney. If you've lost your job, maybe you should go move and work there if you can. You know, you're not going to want to do that because you've bought a house in the southern suburbs, and if you do that, you're going to be whacked with 40, 50 grand of stamp duty. So it's just a really bad tax. And, you know, we've been talking about for a really long time since the Ken Henry review that we should get rid of these things. And New South Wales Treasurer Dominic Perrottet is really leading the push, and he said, look, this is the best time to do it. If everything's on the board, this is the time to look at this terrible tax.
Of course, there's a catch, though, in this conversation, isn't there, Jess? How much does stamp duty raise in New South Wales, for instance?
$7.5 billion on a good day.
Yeah, that's a lot of tax revenue.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a funny conversation to be having with, you know, we've got the economy tanking, tax revenues falling. What should we do? Abolish a tax, which is a source of revenue for the government. The catch with it is that if you abolish stamp duty, you have to raise the taxes somewhere else. So you're not talking about just lessening the tax load. You're talking about a tax switch to other things. And what people talk about, Ken Henry, Phil Lowe now, is saying a land tax. So yippee, everyone, we're trying to pull ourselves out of an economic hole. We're going to have a great big new tax on everything called a land tax, which people will have to pay. And or we're going to increase the GST is what we talk about as ways to fill that revenue new hole. Now, we think that's a good idea in the long term because stamp duty is a really volatile source of revenue for state governments. Actually, it might not be raising $7.5 billion at the moment because if you've got the property market going into a downturn, there's fewer transactions. They can't rely on that revenue. Anyway, it would be better to tax something that you can rely on, like consumption. What have we all done in the COVID crisis? We've gone shopping, we bought toilet paper and everything. It shows you what, you know, an essential type of activity that is. So economists think, yippee, tax it, because we want to tax things that people can't really avoid doing. It's a more efficient way of not distorting your economy. So, hey guys, abolish stamp duty, yay. Increase the GST and introduce a new broad-based land tax. That is politically very difficult to do.
How does the land tax work?
Well, there are sort of land tax regimes in place across state governments that apply to commercial properties or investment properties in some cases. You know, the state government says how much is land worth, and there are valuer generals who do that. But then you send a bill to every household, you know, with some exemptions if you're maybe a person who's, you know, a rich old senior, rich in the sense that you have a wealthy, you sit on wealthy land, but you don't have a lot of cash flow. You can exempt people like that. But it's basically, yes, yeah, sending a bill to every homeowner for the value of the land that they own and saying, pay us a small but annual land tax every year.
How does it work in apartments where you don't actually own the land?
So it'd be a proportion, I guess, of the land. You mean you own it collectively, so you'd get assigned a proportion of the value. And, you know, it raises questions. And some people, you've just paid $40,000 on stamp duty. You're not going to want to be suddenly getting a bill every year for land tax. But, the, you know, there are various ways to do it. And I spoke, when I spoke to Ken Henry before all COVID happening, this was actually the last thing that I was reporting on, was there is a review in New South Wales led by David Thodey, who's the former Telstra CEO. It's got Bill English, the former New Zealand Prime Minister. And they were all looking at, I mean, there is a review currently underway, how could you do this switch? And what you could do is you could exempt people who own property on which they've already paid stamp duty. Say, look, you've paid already, and you only apply it to new transactions. So, you know, you buy a house, you don't have to pay the stamp duty, but you will be sent the bill every year for your land tax. The ACT government has done not that, but they have started phasing out stamp duty in favour of land tax. And they've got into a bit of a tricky situation where they didn't abolish stamp duty. They just phased it down incrementally over 10 years and phased up over 10 years land tax. So you've got some people paying both, and that makes people pretty cranky, as it turns out.
Let's talk about the GST for a second. Is there any idea by how much we would have to increase the percentage of paid in GST to make up for the removal of stamp duty?
Yeah, look, I imagine that would be a fairly simple equation to punch in the numbers. People sort of talk about now going from 10 to 15% being something that the New Zealand did. I mean, we all supposedly love New Zealand now and think they have fabulous ideas. Well, they increased their GST from 10 to 15% many years ago, and that's something that they've worn. You know, it'd be a simple matter of saying, what is the revenue foregone from stamp duty, maybe get some of that back from making states impose land taxes, and then maybe go to this big revenue lever that we have, which is the GST, which is collected by the federal government, but by convention and agreement distributed to the states. And that could be a fairly revenue neutral sort of tax, which we talk about. We don't want to increase taxes at the moment. Maybe we want to look at cutting them on some things and other things like company profits and income. But it starts to get a bit complicated. But you could do that modelling, and people are now sort of calling, like, we need to have another tax review, which always makes me excited. And everybody else go, oh my God, another tax review. But that is kind of...
I'm sure it makes Ken Henry roll his eyes.
I know. But it is how we sort of progress tax reform in this country. We sort of have a review. Mm. It sits there for a while, but then we need, you know, a decade on to revisit it and get the consensus that some change is needed.
One of the extra complicating factors of using the GST to make up for stamp duty is that the GST has to be increased nationally by agreement with all the states and the federal government, and is also distributed not necessarily exactly the way it's collected. It's distributed via a formula. So you can't actually say, as you know, I'm New South Wales, I'm going to get rid of stamp duty, I don't care what everyone else is doing, and I'm going to have the GST increase to make up for it, can you?
No, state governments can't increase the GST. You know, it is a federal tax, and they have tended to do it in consultation with state governments. But yeah, and even when they do, you can't guarantee how much of that share you're going to get back, because there's this very complicated way of figuring that out. All state treasurers can do is they can tax land that is within their power, or they can sort of very vocally hope that they can get some sort of coalition of state and federal treasurers to agree that we should all do this together, which, you know, it's a pretty trying time to do one of the most tricky policy reforms that could be attempted. It's a complex thing, you know, and there is a lot going on at the moment.
Maybe this new national cabinet system is the only way that we're going to get it done.
Yeah, and that's a new sort of mechanism that we have for making, you know, policy across state and federal. So hopefully that's something that sticks around post the immediate health crisis, you know, and they can work together.
Well, Jess, it's great to see you, even if it was only on my computer screen.
Yeah,
thanks for joining
too.
Me on Please Explain.
My pleasure.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Yuji Shimada and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.